This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
There are so many things that all people all over the world have in common. Now, we may wear different clothing, types of clothing. We may have different modes of transportation. We might eat different kinds of foods. Might even live in different kinds of houses. But there are a number of things about life itself that which we have in common with people all over the world. I believe people all over the world understand the meaning of the word stress. Our world seems to be stressed out. Today we want to talk about how to overcome stress in our lives. I hope that you'll stay tuned. Now, I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we do appreciate those of you that have tuned in to watch today, especially if you're watching for the very first time. May I thank you for tuning in. Now, today on our telecast, we're offering a Bible course. It is a free Bible course, one that you can study in the privacy of your home, wherever you might be. As a matter of fact, we have many that are imprisoned who are taking our Bible correspondence course. It said it doesn't matter where you are, you can have it. And we want to pause long enough so that you can learn a little bit more about the course itself and how you're able to receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read now from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. Now notice in verse 8 that Paul said, we are troubled. We're perplexed, we are persecuted, and we're cast down. I believe Paul knew something about stress. Do you not think so? Over in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he makes mention of the fact in verse 24 that of Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was a stone. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, and night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Listen to him. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. But then he said, besides those things that are without, that which comes on me daily, the care of all the churches. Yes, Paul knew something about being stressed out. You see, this is something from which not any person on the earth is immune. The rich can be stressed out. The poor can be stressed out. It doesn't make any difference the color of your skin, the language that you speak. We all have this in common, and yet it's not harmful unless it gets out of control. And so what we want to do today is talk about how we overcome stress in our lives. Now, people have always struggled with this. I want you to think first of all about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And here they're in a paradise on earth. And there was only one stipulation about living in that garden. They were not to eat of the fruit that was in the midst of the garden. And the Lord said to them, the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. Well, Satan came into the garden in the form of a serpent, and he deceived the woman, and she ate of it. She gave it to her husband, and he ate of it. And now they're hiding in the garden, hiding from God. Don't you think they were a little bit stressed out? You see, people have always dealt with this thing we call stress. Then you think about Moses at the burning bush in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Moses was being called by God to go back to the land of Egypt and to lead his people out of bondage. And that put Moses under a lot of stress. He said, I don't speak well, and I just don't think I'm the man for the job. And so God thought Moses was the man for the job. That's the occasion when God said, take off your shoes from off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. And he was on holy ground, but it stressed Moses something fiercely. And then you think about Job. Here's a great man, a man he said to be the greatest man of the East. He was highly respected. He was a wealthy man. But Job lost it all. He lost all of his children, all 10 of his children. He lost his cattle. He lost his health. He was infested with boils all over his body. Don't you think Job understood the meaning of stress? And then I take Abraham. On the occasion that he was called upon to offer his only son as a sacrifice on the altar. Do we read that story in the 22nd chapter of Genesis? And here he is, his only son. But God said, offer your son. And Abraham was about to plunge a knife into the body of his son and take his life when God stayed his hand and he supplied the sacrifice on that occasion. That's a very stressful moment in the life of Abraham. And then you think about Paul that we just read about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and as well as in chapter 11. Paul lived under a tremendous amount of stress in his life. Then you think about Jesus before the cross. Jesus understands stress. You know, he was stressed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed to his Father in heaven. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we're told in the Bible that Jesus was so pressed down. He was under such strain on this occasion that the perspiration appeared as drops of blood on his brow. Jesus understands what it is to be stressed. And it's not a respecter of persons. Young people experience stress. Well, as a matter of fact, you deal with it from the very time that you're born. Imagine being born into a room and the first thing you see are lights blaring in your eyes. And little babies cry. They soon learn how to get their way because they cry when they're hungry. They cry when they need their diaper changed. You see that even when we're little babies, we live a life of stress. Then you think about those in their teenage years. They are stressed. They have what they call peer pressure. And that is their peers, the people with whom they associate, try to pressure them into doing some things they know they ought not to be doing. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure that's put on our youth today to get them to conform to the world, to get them to conform to things that are ungodly, things that are not good for them. And hence, it causes a certain amount of stress in their lives. Then you think about this young couple that's just gotten married. You talk about a stressful situation. Someone did a a study, and they had a pressure scale. And a certain things and events that would happen in your life would be certain number of units. Getting married was 100 units. In other words, that's about the most stressful thing they said that could happen to you, getting married. Because here are two people who now have got to learn to live together with all of their different idiosyncrasies and habits and the like. It can be very stressful. And then you think about this couple that has teenagers. Oh, you talk about stress, listening to the music teenagers like to listen to, and the things that you have to deal with. They got to have this kind of clothing to wear. You got to have this kind of food to eat. They got to listen to this kind of music. And so teenagers don't understand the stress that their parents might be under because of them. Parents are under stress because they have to pay their taxes. They got to put food on the table for the family. They got to make sure that there's heat in the house when it's cold, and they want to make sure that the house is cool when it is hot. See, there's pressure, there's stress. Then you retire. You say, well, when I retire, everything's going to be just fine. Oh, no, not necessarily. Man came to me one day. He said, Brother Lambert, he said, I want to ask you a question. He was retired. He had been a barber all of his life. He said, what do you do after you've mowed your grass two times a week? He was bored. He was under stress. You see, every person on the face of this earth deals with it every day. And I suspect that most of you that are watching right now are dealing with it in some way in your life. So how are we going to deal with it? How will we overcome stress in our lives? So I'd like to make some suggestions as to how we can do that. First of all, we must develop a positive spiritual attitude. If we want to overcome stress, we've got to have this positive attitude, but it needs to be a positive spiritual attitude. First of all, you need to know who you are. You need to know that you have been made in the image of God, and you are special to God. I remember my wife and I going to visit a woman one day, and she would not allow us to come in her home. She was ashamed of her house. And we stood out in the yard. And she said, I'm just not as good as other people. And I said, I want you to look at your fingers. And what's on the ends of your fingers? And I said, they're fingerprints. And I said, nobody else in all of the world has the fingerprints that you have. And when God made you, He made you special. You're made in His image. You see, God made us all. And so we should never feel, look, I'm not as good as other people. Because we are made in the image of the divine. You need to know who you are. And you need to know not only who you are, you need to know why you're in this world. Are you just in this world to party and have a good time, to seek after pleasures, all the kinds of pleasures that Solomon sought after during his lifetime? But he said all of that's vanity, all that's vexation of spirit. That's not where it's at. You see, he tried to find what was good for a man to do all the days of his life. And he found out that it's not life under the sun that matters, it's life above the sun that matters. It's your relationship with God. So we need to know who we are. We need to know why we are here. And we're in this world for one specific purpose, and that's to honor and to glorify God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is the 31st verse. And he said, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do in life, if you're digging a ditch, do it to the glory of God. If you're preaching a sermon, do it to the glory of God. If you're an attorney and you're in the courtroom, do it to the glory of God. Everything we do should be to honor and to glorify God, because that's the reason we're in this world in the first place. We're to keep fear God, and we're to keep the commandments of God. That's the whole sum and substance of our life. According to Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And if we know who we are and we know why we're here, what our purpose is in life, then we need to know where we're headed. And there is an eternity ahead of us all. We're just journeying through this. We're just travelers in this old world. Sojourners, as it were, pilgrims through this old world. And we're not going to be here all that long. Man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. You see, Solomon knew that life was a journey into eternity. And so if we're going to develop this positive spiritual attitude, we have to know something about ourselves, who we are, why we're here, what our purpose is while we're here, and we need to know where we're going when this life is over. But then we need to learn to accept ourselves. If we're going to have a life that is stress-free, learn to accept who you are. You say, well, Brother Lambert, I'm so short and I don't like that. Or I'm so tall and I don't like that. I feel like I don't fit in because of my height. You see, you need to learn to accept yourself. You know, that's what Jimmy Durante did. He had a rather outstanding nose, but he made a career out of it. And he took a lemon and he made a lemonade out of it. That's what Phyllis Diller did. She was a comedian and she wasn't the most beautiful woman in the world, but she took her wit and she made a life for herself and was well known in her lifetime. You see, we need to take ourselves where we are, accept the way that we are. You say, well, do you mean by that, Brother Lambert, you ought not try to improve yourself? I think we ought to try to improve ourselves every day that we get up. Try to make it a better day. Try to make my life better every day. But we need to accept certain things about ourselves. I cannot make my skin a different color. I cannot change where I was born. I cannot change several things about my life. And the only thing that I really control in my life is my will, and I can make decisions and choices to improve my life. But I've got to accept that I'm Billy Lambert, that I was born in 1943. I can't say, well, you know, I don't like that, so I'm going to start telling people that I was born in 1963 instead of 43. It wouldn't take them long to realize that I wasn't telling the truth. I've got to accept certain facts about myself. And so if we want a positive attitude, accept yourself, and you need to know yourself. And then we need to develop a thanksgiving spirit, a thanksgiving attitude. A little boy knew that the neighbors had been ill, and he asked his mother to fix a plate of food to take over to the neighbor. And so she willingly prepared a plate of food, and the little boy took it over and knocked on the door. And the neighbor opened the door, and the little boy said, I brought you something to eat. And they took it out of his hand, and they closed the door. And he came home, and there were tears in his eyes, and his mother said, what's wrong, son? He said, I gave them the food, but they didn't even say thank you. Thank you. And God has been so good to every one of us. God has been good to even to those that don't even believe in God. He's been good to them. He gives you life. He gives you breath. He gives you all things. He gives us so many things every day that it would be difficult to count or to name all the things that God gives us every day. He makes the sun to shine on the good and on the bad, on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He blesses us every day. You would think that the least we could do would be to thank God for those blessings. Paul wrote in the Thessalonian letter, the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, down about verse 18, "In everything give thanks." A little boy had to wear glasses. He really didn't like it. But someone says, "What do you think about your glasses?" He said, "I'm thankful for my glasses." He said, "The boys won't hit me and the girls won't try to kiss me." We need to be thankful for everything. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6 and verse 7, if we just followed these two verses, we would live lives stress-free, I promise you. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," listen to him now, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, if we want to live a stress-free life, we need to develop this attitude of being thankful. So sometimes we even need to be thankful for some of the difficulties that come in our lives. Because I know this, that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. There may be a difficulty that comes along, but it may be that out of that difficulty, there's some good that can come. It's hard for us to see it at the time. To be thankful for everything that happens to us in this life. But then if we want to develop a positive attitude, spiritual attitude, we've got to learn to be content. Are you content with what you have? The apostle said that having food and raiment, having food and clothes, let us therewith be content. Don't be grumbling. Don't be complaining. Don't be murmuring. Be content with such things as you have. I've traveled in several places around the world, and I've seen poverty. I remember being in Mexico one time, and I went in some of the places where there was so much poverty. I've been in the Caribbean, and I've seen poverty there. I've been overseas over in the Bible lands. In certain places, you can see poverty. There's poverty all over the world, and right now, as I'm speaking to you, there's some child somewhere that's starving, is hungry. See, we need to be so thankful, and we need to learn to be content. But then, if we want to develop an attitude where we're not stressed out all the time, get our priorities in order. We need to learn to put the first things first in our lives. That's a very difficult thing for people to do. First thing we ought to put in our lives is God. He ought to be number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we need to put first things first in our lives. But frequently, the reason we become stressed is because we put first things second or third or fourth or not in line at all. You see, we need to seek God first, put Him first. But then, if we want to overcome stress, I think this is the most important thing for you to remember today. We must turn it all over to God. Turn it all over to God. You know, it's when I try to handle everything that things really get messed up. I try to do it without God. I try to do it without going to God in prayer and asking for help. That things really get messed up. A woman was working at a sewing factory. And above her head, at her machine, there was a sign, "If you need help, ask the supervisor." Well, her threads became tangled, and she wasn't able to use her machine, so she said, "I think I can do this," and she was working and trying to get it going, and the supervisor comes by, and she said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, the threads have become so entangled," and she said, "I'm doing my very best." Said, "No, you're not. Read the sign. You've not done your best until you ask me for help." And good friends, we've not done our best till we ask God for help. Now let me read to you from Solomon in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not only on your own understanding." And so don't trust yourself. Don't trust a person. Trust God. Would you trust God with your soul today? You see, you need to trust Him with your soul that's going to live throughout eternity. Would you believe in His Son, Jesus, with all your heart? But would you be willing to turn your life over to Him and say, "I'm done with the life of sin," and you want to repent of all the sin in your life? Would you acknowledge before men Jesus is the Son of the living God? And would you allow some servant of God to baptize you that you might have your sins cleansed in Jesus' blood? You know, Jesus said it best, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I want to urge you to turn your life over to God. I'm not saying you will never have another problem. Christians have problems too. Christians deal with mosquito bites and illnesses and all kinds of things as well as those that are not. But I know this, living for Jesus is so rewarding, and in the end, it's the best way to go. I want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today. And in the closing moments, may I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, would you not pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course? Or you may take it online. But whatever you do, please take this Bible course. We'd urge you to do that. You say, "Well, why?" Because we'd like for you to get to know more about your Bible. I want to thank you for tuning in today and watching. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.